from the Wilburns to Compassion to countless hit lyrics that bear his name, singer-songwriter Ricky Atkinson is here for the hour.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
A smooth vocal, but a great, vibrant personality behind it, too. Ricky Atkinson's my guest today, and Ricky, your career, I could start naming names and going back through the timeline, and we'll do that as we go through our discussion today, but I just want to start off by saying, welcome, Ricky Atkinson. You're a delight to be around, and I know people all over this country who love following you through the different groups and love what you're doing today with Ricky Atkinson and Compassion and even solo. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate that very much.
So let's go back. I like to do this. Just go back to the beginning. Where was home for you growing up?
Well, I was born in Camden, South Carolina, and I guess probably sometime around 10, 11, 12 years old, we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. My dad is a preacher and a pastor and helps churches all over the country. It's more like a mission work for him. Mm-hmm. And we moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, Gastonia area, and helped the church there. 1981, he moved to South Georgia, Sylvester, Georgia, and started a new work down here with some families. And I've never left. He's been off all these years in different states, but he's always kept a home here. Mm. And of course, I've lived in Sylvester since 1981. So I'm a wow. South Georgia boy.
Yeah. So what is it about Sylvester that just seems like home to you?
To be honest with you, it's not very conveniently located for Southern gospel music and what I do.
Yeah.
But I do travel mostly in the Southeast. And so it's not a real difficult trip each weekend going out. But we just kind of got adopted in here and grafted in here in South Georgia, and friends and family. And once you get rooted down, it's hard to leave, you know, up and leave anything. Now, I did leave for a few years during my Wilburn years,
right.
96 to 99. I had to move. Jackie and Elaine wanted me to be within at least 4 hours of the bus. And so I had to move further north. I didn't move all the way to Nashville, Tennessee. I just didn't feel good about moving my family to a place and me being gone all the time with a full-time national group. And so I moved to where I knew some other people up in North Georgia, and I was within 3 hours of the bus, and so that worked out great. But up there for about 3 years around Dalton, Georgia, and then back down to Sylvester, Georgia when I started Compassion in 2000, and I've been here ever since.
Ricky Atkinson is my guest right now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
The prodigal son, how he left to find his own way. Then he found out later he deceived himself, then determined that he could not stay. We've heard a lot of preaching and singing on the matter, and I'm happy he decided to change. But without the open arms at the end of the road, his decision would have been in vain.
What about the prodigal's father? What about the grace he showed? What about his love and forgiveness when the prodigal came back home? What about the prodigal's father came running to meet his son? What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father?
I was giving this world a try. I was hanging by a thread at the end of the rope that I was trying so hard to collide. Then I finally made a choice, gave up and came home. Was there ever really any doubt? My father would be waiting, and that's the real meaning of the story we're talking about.
What about the prodigal's father? What about the grace he showed? What about came back home? What about the prodigal's father? Came
Father, sing about the grace he showed. Talk about his love and forgiveness when the prodigal came back home. What about the prodigal's father? Came running to meet his son. What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father? Came running to meet his son. What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father? What about the prodigal's father? What about the prodigal's father?
You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends with my guest today, Ricky Atkinson. So before the Wilburns, as you're going through life now, I guess if you're a preacher's kid and you're in church work, opportunity may have presented itself to do a lot of church music growing up. Is that right?
Yes, we did. We traveled and sang all those years. My dad was working in those churches, and he did a lot of revival meetings and evangelistic work, and we would travel and sing. Me and my sister and my mother would sing together. And, of course, then as I got older, I started my own group. I started a little group called Kindred Spirit. I worked with a dear friend of mine, Lance Carpenter, who co-wrote the song I Have Not Forgotten for the Inspirations back in 07. Lance and I started a group together. I don't even remember the year, but just different things like that before I stepped on the so-called professional stage and traveling full-time in 1996. Little groups here and there, family groups, and of course other groups also.
And so, how did the Wilburns find you, or did you seek them out?
Wow, that is a long story, my friend, and really it's a valuable lesson. I would love to be able to share it with you sometime. I won't do it on the radio because of time.
Yeah.
But I was in Houston, Texas, with Lance Carpenter. We were doing a revival meeting out there. And a dear friend of his named Brett Bronson. Brett was from Panama City, Florida area. And we went by his house, picked him up, went out to Texas. Anyway, long story short, I sang a lot of my songs that week, songs that I had been writing since I was probably 12, 13 years old. And Brett heard these songs, and he said, man, he said, I need to get some of these songs. He said, I know the Wilburns really well. I know Jackie really well, and I'll get some of these songs to them. Maybe you can get a cut. So he was going to pitch some of my songs to them. Well, I got home from Texas from that revival meeting, and I started cutting demos as fast as I could. You know, I'm finally going to get somebody to listen to my songs, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's the way it worked out. And Brett called me like 3 days later after we got back from that Houston meeting, and he said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what is it? And he said, well, Jonathan Wilburn has decided to leave the family group and join Gold City. And I said, "What?" And listen, I had no idea. I'm honest. I had never, ever thought about traveling full-time with a group or anything like that. I never had any aspirations of it. This is just how God worked out and planned my life.
Wow.
I said, well, Brett, does that mean they're not going to, you know, they're going to quit? Are they folding up? I was disappointed because they weren't going to get to hear my songs and get me a cut.
Yeah.
You know? That's the only thing I was concerned with was, well, surely they're not going to quit, you know, pitching my songs anyway. And
right.
He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I don't want you to pitch them the songs. He said, I don't want you to send them the songs. He said, I want you to take them the songs. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I know for a fact that you can fill that part. And they're looking for somebody right now. And I said, wow. And I just had no idea how God would plan that out. That was, I don't remember exactly what day of the month that was in May of 96. But by mid-June, like 3 weeks later, I had already met them in Alabama and auditioned, and I was on the bus and on stage at the First Baptist Church of Cincinnati, Ohio, 2 weeks after I had heard those words from Brett's mouth. And I had no idea. I went from nowhere and nothing to that within 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so that's how God opens doors and fixes things for your life. You know, sometimes we don't even know which direction God's going, and you look around, you wonder, you know, why am I where I am?
Yeah.
God's in control of all that.
Ricky Atkinson is my guest right now on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
For many years they waited with great
great anticipation for the promised king to come and grace their land. Spoken by their leaders, foretold by the prophet, he was sure to come and rule with mighty hand.
With the Holy One in mind, they looked ahead in time, and they said, "We'll keep the faith until he comes,
until the day, until he comes, till the manger there in Bethlehem
becomes the cradle of God's Son.
We'll awake the grand appearing
of the chosen promised one.
He finally came, he lived and died, ascended up to heaven. He was everything they thought he'd be, so much more. But before he left, he promised one day he'd be returning to take us where we've never been before.
Precious face, we'll stand and sing his amazing grace
and raise unworthy hands
until he comes,
until he comes,
until the day, until he comes, till the final battle's over,
till the final race is run.
Atkinson's my guest this week, and we're talking to him about his, kind of the life and times of Ricky Atkinson here on Daniel Britt and Friends. And it's a lot of fun to go back and find out how these guys got started, what drove their passions, and talk about songwriting. I mean, most songwriters I know, it's an outlet, and it's just something they have to do. It's not like it's not a forced thing. Although there is, you know, sometimes there's a practice that goes on and you want to perfect it, but some people, when they need an outlet, they'll go out and mow the lawn, or they'll get on a tractor, or some people they'll go and write a blog or keep a journal, or some people will go and do, other artistic type things. For you, is writing like an outlet for you?
Well, in a way it is. I don't classify it much as a job like a lot of writers do. I don't specify certain times to sit down and write. I used to think I needed to, and I tried to, but I found out that you don't get a whole lot accomplished by doing that. And I don't know. I just write when I feel the need to. And sometimes it's a month or two, and sometimes it's longer, and sometimes you write four or five songs in a week. It just depends on what's going on, I guess, in your life at the time.
So when you joined the Wilburns and you were on this, as you said, this national stage, What became immediately different that maybe you didn't expect? You're traveling with the Wilburns now, and you thought, well, cool, they got a bus, or I, you know, maybe I don't have to worry about these parts of running a business anymore or making ends meet because it's going to kind of take care of itself. So what were some of the surprises along the way that maybe you weren't expecting?
Well, I'm going to be brutally honest here. A lot of people may not want to hear this, and you may want to use your edit button.
Yeah, right.
But to be honest with you, I knew I was joining a great group. I knew Jackie was an old-fashioned missionary Baptist preacher, and I knew they lived what they sung about, and he and Elaine were great people. I knew that going in just from what I knew about them from other people.
Right.
The difficult part of traveling full time is it all looks glamorous and looks great, but when you're away from home that much, in other words, I had small children, and even being home Monday through Thursday most weeks and traveling, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Jackie did a lot of revival meetings because he was a preacher, and so we were out a lot of 10-day trips, you know, on some revivals in between weekends. And so when the kids get old enough, kids start looking at you and saying, Dad, why do you have to leave? That becomes a difficulty in these singers and these full-time travelers' lives. It's not so difficult when the kids can't talk, but when they get old enough to start asking why you have to go and wanting you to stay home, yeah, then that becomes a problem. So I knew from the get-go, after about a year and a half on the road, I knew God was using this as an outlet to get my songs out. And I started getting cuts by the Kingdom Heirs and the Roots and some great groups, McCamey's, and of course several cuts with the Wilburns, and just watching my songwriting portion of what God wanted for my life explode like that in just a few short years, I began to realize that it wasn't so much about necessarily about traveling and singing so much as it was about God using this as a ticket to open the door for my writing where I could do exactly what he wanted me to do. See?
Yeah.
And so after about 3 years, of course, during that time, Resting Place hit number one. And a lot of those are open doors. That's avenues that God uses to open the doors to get you where you need to be. But I knew probably after a year, year and a half, that I wasn't going to be there. And I told him, I said, I won't always be here. I don't know what God has for me or what doors will open, but I will be doing something at some point, and I'll let you know in plenty of time, of course, you know, to make the necessary arrangements. And God just worked things out for me to be able to come back home and not start a group to become something else. Elaine used to kid us all the time. She'd say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll leave and start his own group.
Yeah, right.
And that's hilarious. They have had so many people go through their group and through their ministry and start other groups. But I was not necessarily wanting to do that to start a full-time group. I wanted to start a group where I could sing my songs and still have plenty of time to write, but also work my own schedule where I could go as much as I needed to and be at home as much as I needed to. So God just works everything out here.
Ricky Atkinson is my guest right now on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
I have journeyed many miles through the sun and through the rain. I've enjoyed some days of gladness. I've endured some nights of pain. Maybe I can't see what's waiting further down the road. Though tomorrow is uncertain, there's one thing I know. If the sun should not arise, if the stars fall from the skies, if the mighty mountains tumble down into the sea, when the raging storm I face in the shelter of His grace, I will rest until it's past. Then I'll look back and see the God of all creation stood by me. Just suppose that all the things we are blessed with every day, suddenly we're taken away. Just as sure
if the mighty mountains tumble down into the sea, when the raging storm I face, in the shelter of His grace, I will rest until it's past, then I'll look back and see the God of all creation stood. If the sun should not arise, if the stars fall from the skies, if the mighty mountains tumble down into the sea,
Ricky Atkinson is with us here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends, and of course hearing some of these great songs that are kind of milestones throughout his career. And when we think about the group, Ricky Atkinson and Compassion, I know this is kind of maybe somewhat of a source of confusion from some people. Are you guys still traveling, or are you kind of an on-again, off-again kind of group? And maybe you've just answered that in some of our conversation, that you're able to go and travel when you need to or want to, or when that need arises, but you're able to be at home and focus on songwriting and family, and that's cool too.
Yeah, well, we are actually still a group. We're not necessarily full-time. Daniel, the way things are right now and worked out, we were full-time for a good many years there. We had a string with my brother and my sister-in-law, which was the original group. Samuel and LaBrice were with me for about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And in 07, they left and went off the road to do exactly what I did, to start a family and have a kid and buy a house and spend more time at home and sing whenever they wanted to, not when they had to.
Right.
And so I didn't fault them for that at all. But I saw at that time, I started having preachers say, look, don't worry about a group, just come by yourself. And so I began to work concerts with promoters and churches, with pastors, based mostly on a solo ministry. And so I thought to myself, you know, if I'm only going to need the group for a few certain dates, then I'm going to call two of my best friends and ask them to come out and do the Compassion dates with me. Mm-hmm. And so I made a good call to my good friend, Lauren Harris, who also was with the Wilburns during my years there in the late 90s, went on to be with the Perrys for about 6 years.
Right.
And sung a number of number one songs, just a great lead singer. And Lauren decided to come off the road and spend time coaching the ball and raising kids and working in his home church and just living a normal life. And so he promised me that he would he'd be interested in doing it if I would promise him that I would keep it on the scale that I was explaining to him. And that was that we would do a couple of dates a month, and that's about it, you know. And
right.
So these guys are Greg Cook is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Greg sang tenor with the Florida Voice for about 10 years, and
right.
Tony Gore Majesty. So these guys were great singers and just living at home and living the regular life and enjoying life, working in their home church full time. Both of them have the same schedules, so God worked all that out. They had the exact same schedule Sunday through Thursday. So we have a few Friday nights here and there that we can get together as Compassion and have a great time, enjoy singing, just enjoy the fellowship. And they call it scratching the itch. I don't know what that is, because I've never stopped since I started in 96.
Wow.
For one weekend.
Yeah.
I am as full-time can be, but the group is more or less on a part-time basis.
Yeah.
So it can give you a little enlightenment on it.
Ricky Atkinson, my guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Here's a song that he's written. Performed now by the McKinney.
As I look down this mountainside, I can see where this road goes. The shepherd is leading me to a place where I can grow. Though it seems to be a trying test, It just might be a place of perfect rest. This valley is for me. This valley is for me. The waters have been made so sweet, a pleasant rest for my weary feet. This valley is for me. A far cry from the mountain scene. The grass here has been made so green. My shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt, this valley is for me. Beside still water, I know why I am here today. This place of restoration will strengthen me along the way. Through the valley I can feel His presence here is oh so real. And now I know it was His perfect will. This valley is for me. This valley is for me. The waters have been made so sweet, a pleasant rest for my weary feet. This valley is for me. A far chose this route, so I can say without a doubt, this valley is for me. My shepherd chose this route, so I can say without a doubt, this valley is for me.
Ricky Atkinson here. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And so when doing this solo work, after traveling with the Wilburns and after traveling with Compassion, and you're out, you know, I always think of this as singers step out of a group and step into solo work, that it's got to feel, among other things, I think one of the big emotions or feelings you might have is not having a support team up there with you. You kind of are, you're all on your own and you're kind of carrying it, and if something flops, you can't look at the other guy and do a tag team thing, you know? So is that accurate? Is that true? And how have you dealt with that?
It is true. And I do enjoy the fellowship and camaraderie and the ability, as you said, to tag team. You know, if you're having a bad night, you know, I can sit back. I get away with it a lot anyway, because when I sing, I want to hear Lauren sing. I want to hear Greg sing. And so,
right.
And I'm in control of what goes on by being the MC, so I force them to sing a lot, and I listen.
Yeah, there you go.
I take the night off when I'm with them. No, I'm kidding. As a soloist, you know what? I find it a little bit more intimate, to be honest with you, when I'm in a church setting, especially in a church setting. People want to hear the stories behind these songs. And sometimes they're just a few short sentences of meaning, or maybe it's a scripture verse or something behind the song. Sometimes there's a full story behind the song. And I don't want to be the type of singer that I've heard a lot of complaints from people about soloists who will get up and talk for 45 minutes and sing three songs.
Right.
And I don't do that at all. I've steered away from that, definitely. I usually, you know, move from song to song pretty rapidly. But every now and then, especially when God speaks to you and has you tell about something that went on in your life or something personal that goes with that song or where that song came from, it's very important to connect with people in that way. And I'm able to do that a lot more. When I'm with the group, it's more or less a set program. You know, I love Christian entertainment. There's nothing wrong with just getting up there and sharing the good news of Jesus, bang, 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 and your 30 minutes is up, or 25, or whatever you have, according to the promoter or the pastor. that's all fine and good. But when you're in a setting like I am, I can more or less, I'll sing two or three songs, and I'll just kind of get in the flow of kind of feeling, you know, where the crowd's going and what the Lord's wanting for this particular service, and try to feel things out and sing the songs that are important, whether it, you know, be two or three slow songs in a row. I don't worry about the professional programming side of it when I get into a church service as a soloist. And I like to look at it like, kind of like Unplugged. I saw an old movie one time where a guy was in a band, and then he winds up at the end, and he's sitting on a stool with a flat top guitar, you know, singing yeah. the same stuff, telling the same stories, but it means more to you in life, and it means more to the people you're singing to when you're able to relate a story. And I don't know, it seems like I'm right where God needs me to be right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying every minute. I do miss the group thing. I'd love to get up and do that every night like I used to, but that's not what God has for me. And so I'm satisfied with the way things are, and really just blessed to be able to help people in such a way and meet so many people that have so many needs in their lives that they can relate to my songs. I remember writing a song years ago for the McCaneys called This Valley Is For Me. And I know we haven't talked about songs yet, but when Peg called me, she said, "You must have had a terrible childhood," after she heard the demo. And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "You write the awfulest storm and valley songs I have ever heard in my life." And I said, "Well, I don't know if awfulest is a word in Webster's, but it must be in Tennessee."
Yeah, right.
But the Lord has given me some great songs through different trials of my life, and be able to relay that message and put that on paper and put it into music and sing it to people and help them through difficult times. And that's what singing's all about. There's a lot of groups that travel up and down the road. Some of them, you know, I don't know what they're in it for. I'll be honest with you, but I know what I'm in it for, and that is to help others. And that's what God wants for my life, is to be able to use my music to help people through some difficult times in their life. We're even working on a song right now, Daniel, for suicide. There's so many people just taking their life, and that's not what God wants for your life. And I know of several instances right now that's just a burden on my heart. And worry for the families of these people who have just reached a point in their life where they just say, you know, it's not worth it anymore.
Right.
And I think gospel music is more than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is we have to be able to reach people and help them where they live. And that's the kind of songs that I want to write.
It's music for life, really is. It's Ricky Atkinson and Compassion, and Ricky Atkinson, songwriter. And, of course, it's time with the Wilburns. We're visiting all of these different points of highlight in his life. And you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
He was bruised and afflicted, as the prophets predicted, despised and rejected of men. But in his agony, there was ransom for me. But bought me joy without end. Lord, I have not forgotten. Jesus, only begotten. I was lost without hope.
Lost without hope.
When the Lord saved my soul.
I remember that hour, by His saving power, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. I'm washed in the blood, His crimson flood, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. Ricky Atkinson's with me today. And I got to tell you, we spent an evening together at the Dove Awards one night. And it was just fun hanging out with you. And you've got a personality that I think, I don't know that you could connect with people in the same way if God hadn't put the voice, the songwriting talent, and the personality that he's given you, the sense of humor you have, all together, because it's a complete package. And Ricky and it makes you a very attractive individual to come and minister in many different settings. Do you have to work at that at all? I mean, are you a natural people person?
I have found out, Daniel, that you can put on all the masks and all the fronts you want to. People are going to see through that. I found out a long time ago that if you just be yourself, and I'm bashful and backwards, I'll be honest with you. Before I started singing at about 16, 17 years old with my family, I would not, you could, I mean, I'm serious. You couldn't get me to get up on stage in front of anybody. And finally, one day I just decided I'm going to get up and do it. You know, God gave me this talent. I'm going to get up and I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
But boy, I sure hated it. I'm just going to tell you, the first session I ever played in, I played in on a session with Lance in Greenville, South Carolina, Mark V Studios. And they had to go in there and turn the piano away from the control room glass, because I couldn't stand the thought of people watching me or me seeing them watching me play. So they turned the piano away from there. I mean, I was just so bashful and backwards about everything.
Wow.
But God, it just gives you, I feel a lot of times like Michael English. I've heard Michael English testify many times of having anxiety attacks and panic attacks and worries himself to death over everything. And I do that same thing. I have that. I can relate to every word of that. That's the way I am. And I wonder sometimes, I tell people this a lot, I wonder sometimes how in the world God has chosen this for me. What am I doing up on the stage in front of people? I'm not a very good talker. I'm not very educated with my lingo and my language and expression. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I found out that if you'll just be yourself and be real, just be real with people and tell them the testimony that God has given you and the words that you have to say in relation to these songs and in relation to what you've been through and in relation to their lives. And people will relate to that. They'll fall in love with that. It's amazing how God, there's something in the scripture about a kindred spirit. And when God's people get together, they can tell what's real and what's not real. And I just try to be myself. You know, if I get in trouble, a lot of times I'll say the wrong thing because I cut up a lot. And so I had to be careful not to cut up too much, but you know, right, keep things as serious as possible. But people can see through everything. I would say my comment on that would be just be yourself and be real to these other artists, because people do know the difference.
Tell me about your family. You said you had young kids when you were traveling with the Wilburns, and how old are they now?
Well, Shelby is in college, and I cannot believe I've got a 20-year-old, and then my son Keenan is 15 and thinks he's 25, and but the kids are great. I've been able to spend a lot of time with them over the last 8 or 10 years that I have been, you know, with Compassion. By coming back home in 2000, I guess that's been more than 8 or 10 years. That's been like 12 years now, being back here in Sylvester after the Wilburns. And so for about the 12 years now, I've had more time here, you know, in raising kids and bringing them up through, you know, teenage years and the path for their life and getting them set for what God wants for them to do, and be a dad to them. And also my family is here, my mother and father, my brother Samuel and his wife Labriska and Jakin are here in Sylvester and never moved away, my sister and her husband. And so we have a lot of family here, and I enjoy my time at home. Like I said, I travel every weekend, but being able to be here with the family is an important part too.
So you have survived and are surviving the teenage years of your kids. Do you have any insight there?
None at all. I know why you're asking too. It takes a lot of prayer of course, you know this, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but keep them in church and keep them before the Lord. And, you know, they'll get the message on what's right and wrong if you'll just keep them in the right place.
Yeah.
That's my only advice on raising children.
Yeah.
And I have two of the best, and so it must work.
You know, I've heard it said that you ground them, you train them, you give them a moral compass, and even if they decide to stray away, that compass is there, and it's going to guide them back. And
absolutely,
I think that's true.
Yeah. Train up a child in the way they should go, and I'm going to change a Lane's verse to when they're old, they will not depart.
So. Right, exactly right. Ricky Atkinson is with us, and, you know, it's oftentimes, for maybe the casual listener, a surprise when they have a singer they know and they love, but they find out that that singer is a great songwriter who writes for other groups as well. And I'm looking at a list of songs, and we've mentioned a couple of these just by name. Resting Place was one huge one, and you mentioned the McCamey song, This Valley Is For Me. What was the first song that you wrote that really took off?
Well, to be honest with you, that's how amazing God started out with my songwriting when he started putting me on the map as far as, you know, publicity is concerned. I started with the Wilburns. We cut the song Resting Place, and that was my first number one, the first number one song for the Wilburns in 30 years of ministry. And so it was a big celebration, not only for my first number one song, but also for the group. And I was excited for them as I was for myself. We just really enjoyed that time of Resting Place. From there, This Valley Is For Me, you know, come in right behind that. And that kind of put my mark on everything. I started getting cuts, you know, by these other groups. And God's just been good. I mean, pretty good list of songs, to be honest with you. And some of them are co-writes. Jeff Steele and I have written a number of songs over the years. A song like Blessed Be the Name of the Lord was a number one song. I don't remember what year it was, but Tony Gore Majesty cut that song years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I still sing it almost every night in my program. I mean, people know me and know Jeff Steele by those songs. And so we've been privileged to tag team as a co-writing team over the years and write a lot of really popular songs. And so God's been good to us. Our chemistry works well together. Now, we haven't written in a long time right now. Jeff is a pastor of a church over in Alabama right now, and the Steels sing very little anymore, and just like, you know, a lot like Compassion does with a couple of dates a month. But we're still good friends and keep up. We just don't have much time for writing anymore like we used to. But, boy, we used to put out a song factory. We would get together in Nashville at least a couple of times a month and write three or four songs at a time. And, you know, as a songwriting team, Jeff has all these great, brilliant ideas for songs. And then it seems like God has given me the ability to close. I remember one time we were writing a song called Where Would You Be Had Jesus Come Back 5 minutes ago. I think Brian Free wound up recording the song after Jeff did. But Jeff, well, I remember we got started on the song, and Jeff had an interview with a radio guy. I don't remember who it was. It might have even been you for all I know, but he was on the phone for about 45 minutes. When he came back, we had started with the chorus, and when he came back, I had written the entire song. Both verses, bridge, everything. So we just had some tinking and tweaking to do to the song and to finish it up. But he was like, man, I can't turn my back on you for a minute. You'll be done.
Wow.
So, you know, we have all these, he has all these brilliant ideas, and God, I call myself a closer, like a pitcher in baseball. I like to come in. I have writers all the time ask me. Miss Diane Wilkinson called me a while back, wanted to write a song. Joseph Habedank, who you featured recently. I said, look, send me an idea. Give me an idea of what you want and kind of a tune, and let me work on it, and we'll throw it back and forth from there. I work better by myself. I don't like the atmosphere of sitting down in Nashville in a writer's room. There's too much pressure for me. I'll go Michael English on him right quick.
right.
And I know he'll appreciate that. But, I'll go crazy with that whole notion. But I like to work by myself. If somebody will send me some ideas, maybe a little idea of the music and what direction they want to go in, I can put lyric to it and I can make things work. And so, you know, years looking back over the years, Jeff and I were the best team that I ever worked with in Southern Gospel.
Ricky Atkinson is my guest right now on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Rocked by waves and howling winds and the storm that threatened them, the disciples sailed a boat on Galilee. They were tired and full of fright. They had fought the storm all night. Then the Master came walking on the sea. They are right. the day is done and the night keeps pressing on. Doctors say that they've done all that they can do. Around the clock, the family prays, but help's already on the way. Without a doubt, another doctor's in the room.
Be not afraid, for it is I, in the fourth watch of the night. You fought and prayed, but I am here, and it's all right. The storm will raise, the winds will blow, but they are under.
Ricky Atkinson is with us here, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Some of the songs he's written also being featured today, and I want to go and talk about this one here that's on the list, and that is Be Not Afraid by the Whisnants, a fairly recent cut that came out, and one that, what's the other title? Sometimes the alternate title people give this one is The Fourth Watch?
Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah.
I have heard that. I actually heard that a couple of weeks ago. You sing the song about the fourth watch of the night.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, that song, Jeff and I, there's really not a whole lot of story behind it. That song's just a good gospel truth and taken from the scripture. Me and Jeff were sitting in the studio one day and in the writer's room, and we were just sharing back and forth, from scripture and just kind of enjoying fellowship. And he said, that's what Jesus said more than anything else in the scripture was don't be afraid or be not afraid. More than anything else that came out of his mouth, I think it was something like 113 times. I can't remember the exact number, but it's some crazy number. And I would have thought, man, I've never read that many times in the scripture. But it must be, there must be something to it. I mean, if he said that more than anything else to his followers, then there must be reason for us to understand we don't have to be afraid. When the storms of life are coming. So we wrote the song. Jeff recorded it. We never did do anything much with it. Jeff Wisner heard the song and said, man, that second verse of that song is just the story of my family and my dad. Doctors have given up hope. And somebody even said the words, another doctor's in the room. He said, man, that's just my song. He said, I need to sing that. And so that's how the Wisners came to record that song. And of course, it got so popular with them singing it, they had to release it. And then it wound up going number one, I think, in 2009 or 2010. Just crazy how God takes a song that it's really a lot of times is meant for just personal use. I mean, so many of my songs are written just for my family or somebody I know.
Sure.
And then God has some much, much bigger, outlook on it and to help so many more people. And so you never know where a song is going to go. I tell these writers all the time, keep writing because you never know where a song is going to go.
And I hear songwriters say that these are their babies. You write a song, it's your babies, you want it to do well. But in a sense, it may be your baby, but as you've just talked about, you may have written it because it's very personal to you, or you wrote it even with your group in mind. But when another group gets it and quote-unquote makes a hit out of it, it kind of takes on, is it, I don't know, if you follow this whole child-baby kind of analogy, is it almost like giving that child up for college or something and see what he can make of himself while he's out out from under you? And then sometimes it blows your mind what he comes back with. My goodness, a number one with this group.
Yeah, yeah. And I can give you a perfect example of that. I love these guys to death. They just have a different style. I mean, the inspiration's great, great bunch of guys and very popular Southern gospel artists. Lance and I wrote a song. He was down here recording a little flat top guitar and just a little solo project down here in my studio in South Georgia. And he had 9 songs. And I said, you know, Lance, you know, it's kind of customary to have 10 songs on an album. And he said, well, I've got one I've kind of started. And if we get done, he said, I want to record these 9 first. If I get done and we can write a song real quick out of it to add as a 10th song, I'll do that. If not, I'll just leave it at 9. So we recorded all day and recorded 9 songs. We get down to the very end of the session late at night, and he pulled up my rocking chair over to the side of the console and grabbed this 12-string Taylor, and he started singing, "Have not forgotten God's only begotten, the price that he paid for my sin." And when he did, I said, "Lord, have mercy, we got to write that." So within the next half hour, we wrote the song, "I Have Not Forgotten." I was only, just to give you an idea of sometimes how generic we are in our thinking as writers, I'm just helping Lance finish up his solo CD. I mean, this is my buddy, my mentor. Just wanted to help him finish up and had no idea where God would take this song. And it wound up in the hands, of course, of the Inspirations. They began to sing it, and of course, you know, they do the a cappella version at the end, and people just really love that.
Right.
The song was a big hit all across the country. Became a number one song, and in 2007 was the song of the year for Singing News Magazine.
Yeah.
And all of that was born down here in my garage studio by my console in about 30 minutes. And so, once again, I go back to telling these writers the same thing. Don't ever stop, and don't ever think that a song is not going to make it or maybe it's not a great song, because God has a plan for each one of these. And I don't look at them myself now, Daniel, as you said, as my babies.
Right.
I'm writing, and I believe I'm writing doing this, but I'm writing the songs that I believe that God can take and put where He wants with any particular group. He has the means to put them in the right hands of the right people. I tell people all the time, I can't travel and sing like I used to. I can't do 235 dates a year like I did with the Wilburns. I don't have the means to do that. But if I can write a song down here in Sylvester, Georgia, and I can pitch it to a group, and they can carry that song all over the country and put it on the radio and reach people, you know, some truck driver driving down the road in the middle of the night, if he can turn on his radio and he can hear, "If I could, I would take care of everything in your life, but I can't do that. But remember, Jesus can." If I can write lyrics like that that can change people's lives, it doesn't make any difference who's singing the song, who's carrying the message. The important part is where God starts the song at and where God starts the message in somebody's heart. Mm. And so as songwriters, we have to be really aware that it doesn't really matter if we record it or we sing it or, you know. The cool thing about what I do now, Daniel, is that I can give a song like to the McCameys and they can record a song like that and make it popular, and it just becomes like make a huge hit. And then I get to a church somewhere, and somebody says, "Oh, that's you. Okay." They don't know the songwriter.
Right.
So I tell people all the time, it's cool for me because, you know, I get to come in and sing and sell CDs off of it. So it worked out great for me.
What you're doing is so incredible with your songwriting, with being out every weekend on solo, and even some of the dates you're doing with Compassion. And if somebody's listening right now and they'd like to bring you in, what do you offer? I mean, you can come in with Compassion on some select dates. You can come in solo. Do you do songwriting seminars, or do you do just kind of like a night of stories behind the songs?
Well, I can do, just a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. In a normal setting, I will normally sing and share maybe just a few stories. As far as that real, real laid back, maybe sitting in a chair talking about the stories behind the songs or doing songwriting seminars, I don't do much of that. I have done it on occasion a couple of times. And I enjoy that too, because people really get the feel of where you've been and what your songs are about when you can talk to them a little more. Usually, and when you get up to sing at a church, you've got 30, 35 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, and you gotta keep it rolling if you're going to get enough songs out, you know, to be able to, for people to hear enough of your song, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of whatever to be honest with you, most of the time I'm in church services and camp meetings and revival meetings. And, you know, a lot of the churches and meetings that I'm in will have a preacher involved. And so you don't get a whole lot of time. You don't get the entire time is what I'm saying.
Sure.
And so, you just kind of have to follow along with whatever the church has in mind.
And so how can we get in contact with you? Your website and Facebook and Twitter and all those ways. Good.
I do have a Twitter account. I do have, there's a bunch of stuff on YouTube that I didn't know was up there.
Yeah, I know
how
that goes.
People tell me all the time, I saw you on YouTube, and I said, listen, I did not post a one of those. I don't know. I have no idea what's on there. People will record all kinds of stuff and then just post it on you. So anyway, yeah. It's a crazy generation we live in. My website is rickyatkinson.com. If you can remember my name, you can find me on the internet or Google search. And somebody told me that if you Google my name, that I'm the first one up there. But rickyatkinson.com, and anybody can order any product, any soundtracks, sheet music, MP3s, of all the songs that I've ever written or co-written over the years. I keep everything. Nothing has ever been, done away with. I compile some of my stuff together, but I still have the same CDs that I have cut over the years. And so those songs, everything is still in the archives, so to speak.
Well, Ricky, keep writing the songs and keep, I mean, it's a broken world that we're in, and obviously we need the gospel and we need to understand in these fresh ways that you're presenting in song. And so keep doing that because we need it. And your voice is timeless. And I think that, that opens so many doors. You hear this great voice, want to come hear him in concert, and then you find out you're a great songwriter to boot. It's just great.
Well, I appreciate that.
Appreciate your time today, man. It's good to get to know you better and to know your story and even to learn about your family some.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate you guys playing our music over the years and your friendship. To be honest with you, I tell people everywhere I go, radio is the lifeline of Southern gospel music. Even though it's dwindling down in a lot of places in America, for somebody like me who doesn't travel full-time anymore, that's how my songs get out. People hit my website. People call me all the time. I heard this song of yours. I heard that song of yours. And it's because radio continues to play this stuff year after year. And so I'm thankful for you guys and what you do.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.